Away from your radio? Listen to 1010XL on the 1010XL app, a free download for all smartphone users, or say, Alexa, open 1010XL.
Oh, yeah. Three solid shots for Tiger Woods at the par 4 11th, and the patrons are on their feet. That was beautifully played.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, Tiger, all the talk right now at Augusta. He is absolutely making his move on the back nine, even though that lightning delay took a little bit of wind out of the sail, where he missed a simple, you know, 5-foot putt on number 12. After pin hunting, and Tiger's been doing that really since he began his round yesterday afternoon. For the most part, greens and regulation continue to be the one statistic just to keep your eyes on when it comes to Tiger Woods. You know, he's put himself in a position once again where he is now on 17, and I'm estimating this is probably an 8, maybe 9-foot putt. And these are the ones that Tiger Woods have really struggled with today. He has made some very long putts for birdies, but it has been the ones that are inside of 10 feet that have really caused him a ton of problems, and he does it again. He pushes it just an inch or two past the hole, left it above the hole. And talking about this a moment ago with Frank and Lauren and Hayes, he missed a five-footer today on number 8. He missed a 5-footer today on number 12. He missed probably an 8-footer on number 13. Yesterday on the front nine where he posted a 35, he missed 3 short putts and realistically should have gone out with a 32. Also missed 1 crucial putt on the back nine. He's playing some great game. He is. He's playing some great golf, but I really think that you can make the case right now for Tiger Woods that he's not running on all cylinders. He's been off on the tee today, both left and right. There was a very crazy incident that happened about an hour ago. I want to say it was on number 14 where he was way off left, hit a ball, which was ended up being one of the great shots of this tournament, and the patrons came running. A staff worker did his part to try to keep the patrons away from Tiger. He fell, landed on Tiger's ankle. You thought Tiger was going to be down and out as he gingerly walked away, grimacing with a staff worker who did slip on the surface there coming off the first cut. And, you know, there really isn't much of any rough whatsoever at Augusta, but just a bizarre set of circumstances today here on the back nine for Tiger Woods. The good news is he's certainly going to be around for the weekend. Right now, he is only 1 stroke off the lead with a hole to play. Tiger Woods, after a 2-under 70 yesterday, once again today, 4 under par, minus 6 overall. He is tied for 6th place along with Dustin Johnson and Harding. There are 5 golfers at minus 7. Those include Brooks Koepka, whose roller coaster, you know, began with a double bogey on number 2 today for Brooks Koepka. All right, he posted a 7 on the par 5 second hole that plays 575 yards. And then he put up a Phil Mickelson type of front nine, going birdie, bogey, par, birdie, going out with the 37. He is one of 5 golfers right now who are sitting at 7 under. Of course, Adam Scott won the Masters in 2013. Jason Day, Brooks Koepka, Francesco Molinari, and Louis Oosthuizen, all at 7 under. So, you know, once again, the cut line looks like it's going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of about 3 over par. At one point when Adam Scott had it at minus 8, it looked like the cut line was going to be at plus 2. He did come back down to earth and bogeyed a hole. It was either on 15 or 16 for Scott. So again, he is one of 5 golfers who are your clubhouse leaders at 7 under. Once again, though, just a great day at Augusta, despite some of the rain, despite the warning of lightning, which removed golfers off the course. It is made for a magnificent first couple of days, and really what it's going to bring us towards for the weekend, I believe, is going to be one of the great championships that we have ever seen. And this is the 83rd Masters, and you just look at that leaderboard right now, and what do they all have in common? They've all won a major. I think you get all the way down to Harding until you find someone here who has actually not won a major. And that's exactly what you want in an event like the Masters. You want the very best players in the world playing their best golf. And that is what we are getting so far today. All right, David Lamb's going to join us a little bit earlier tonight. He's going to do so coming up here in about 10 minutes. Later on in the program, I am going to give you my opinion on what to look for as far as the orange and blue game coming up tomorrow. The Florida Gators, what do they have in store? Last year it was kind of gimmicky. What do they have? McGriff throwing a touchdown pass. They had Lawrence Wright doing some things. And that's all cool. Dan Mullen was trying to set the landscape for his program. It was coming off a situation where, what, they were 4-8, and all of a sudden Dan Mullen takes over this program. They win 10 games. They knock off LSU. They pound Florida State for the first time in 6 years, or on the right side of that particular rivalry. They exorcise the demon of the Michigan Wolverines, who had faced Florida, I want to say, in consecutive years, both in the lid lifter and in a bowl. And the Michigan men were on the right side of both of those games. Again, Florida was able to turn that around a year ago and find themselves to a big bowl victory. And, you close out the year by knocking off the Noles and by knocking off the Wolverines. That's a great way to wrap up your season. The result of that, Dan Mullen put up a top 10 recruiting class at the University of Florida. I want to say it was the first time that they did that as far as a consensus, going all the way back to 2014. So recruiting was a banner year for the University of Florida. Felipe Franks got better. What are they going to do skill-wise now? They have more talent there than I've seen them with, really in a number of years, particularly at wide receiver. I'd like to see Tony get the football a little bit more. You look at this offense and you throw in a guy like Kyle Pitts and how much of a mismatch that he can be, as a makeshift tight end, or maybe a guy that can even put in the slot. So you start looking at Kadarius Toney and Kyle Pitts. And I'm not even talking about Van Jefferson here or Ty Cleveland here or, Freddie Swain. I'm talking about guys that can offer a lot of different dimensions for the University of Florida. That once boring and defunct offense all of a sudden can strike from anywhere. Their biggest concern, obviously, the offensive line. They're losing some guys to the NFL. They're losing some guys to graduation. They return only two starters. They brought in four youngsters who have already enrolled. And it's not like it used to be, where you couldn't rely on a true freshman offensive lineman. Those days have changed. And they've changed in the SEC. They've changed everywhere across the college football world. So we'll talk a lot about the University of Florida a little bit later on in the program. I'm going to keep you updated as what's going on tonight on the ice, particularly with the Tampa Bay Lightning scoring the other night. How do you lose a 3-goal lead in the third period to the Columbus Blue Jackets, an 8 seed? That happened. Game 2 tonight, that's in Tampa, so we'll keep you updated on that as well. We are absolutely jam-packed. 5 golfers at 7-under. Tiger Woods is actually your course leader right now, 1 stroke behind the clubhouse leaders at -6. Tiger, let's see, right now, comfortably on the 18th fairway, 159 yards out for Tiger, his second shot. Let's take a look at his approach here before we head to our first break. Tiger is talking to the golf ball, which is always a good sign. Now, if he could just talk to the ball while he is putting, I'm going to test my eyes. I'm going to say he's within 12 feet of another birdie attempt on 18. It could be closer. It could be within 10 feet. I'm estimating right now it's within 12 feet. honestly, the longer these putts have been, the better off for Tiger. He's struggling to make them 10 feet and in. I'm going to talk to David Lamb about that, who's joining us here coming up in just a couple of moments. Remember, he came into this tournament 146th on the PGA Tour on putts from 10 feet and in. He has struggled to make those putts. And it's not speed. It's obviously alignment. He's not reading the greens as well as he used to. He's not seeing the break, or I don't know what it is, but I don't think it's a situation where it has anything to do with him physically. He's in tremendous shape. I've heard some say that the bad back over the years, that he cannot spend the hours, the grind on the, you know, on the putting surface practicing for hours a day. Even though Tiger Woods got there early this week at Augusta, and I know on Tuesday he spent hours and hours and hours working on nothing except for 100 yards in, and that included very long sessions on the putting green. But I heard that comment made a little bit earlier today that Tiger can't devote the hours into putting now at his age the way he once did. And that's really the reason why I'm excited about this with Tiger. And this is great for golf fans. But I do wonder a little bit, is it fool's gold? Because he can't make short putts. Anyway, we'll discuss that. We got a ton to do. Glad you're with us. Into the Night with Rick Ballew. Let's bring in the guru, David Lamb. We'll stay with the Masters. That's coming up right here on 92.5 FM as we go into the night with Rick Ballew.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, winding down at Augusta, first round coverage. If you know you happen to have it on television, it looks a lot lighter than it actually is. Believe it or not, that's what television does, even in a sport like golf. And moments ago, Tiger Woods, I mean, his hiccups continue to be short putts. That one was a little bit longer. Again, I'm not great on just being able to look at the TV and judge what that putt was, and obviously didn't have volume on because I'm on the radio, but I'm guessing that was probably a 11, 12-foot putt. May have been under 10 feet. I don't know. But we're going to bring David Lamb in, and we talked to David yesterday about how he missed three putts on the front nine where he went out with a 35, really should have had a 32, missed a couple of putts on the back nine. And I understand that we can say this about probably every golfer on the PGA Tour. But day two, same thing. Missed the five-footer on eight. Amen corner. Missed birdie opportunities on 12 and 13, including the five-footer on 12. And, you know, that was affected by the lightning delay. He really had a lot of momentum then. Then he gathered back the momentum with long, lengthy made putts. And then he just missed a couple of shorties again, including on 18. Let's bring in David Lamb. He joins Rick Ballew. And, David, the excitement is just unbelievable. I didn't even mention the five at 7-under, but as far as I'm concerned right now, this is all about Tiger Woods, the golf game that he is playing, yet still struggling to make those short putts.
Yeah, well, it is about Tiger, but I can tell you what, when Bobby Jones created this tournament 85 years ago, this is exactly what he had in mind. The world's greatest players all bunched up and getting ready to just have an unbelievable weekend, you know, playing for the green jacket. I've never seen anything like it. There's never been a five-way tie after 36 holes at Augusta. Not only is it a five-way tie, with all the disrespect I can conjure up, there's no Danny Willits in there, you know, Mike Weirs. There are five major champions, you know, tied for the lead. And by the way, one shot back, Tiger Woods. One shot back, Dustin Johnson. You know, it's unbelievable. And then you've got, you know, the Xander Schauffele.
Mm-hmm.
He had the round of the day. He's one shot back. But you've got guys like Schauffele, Kuchar. You know, the Mickelson is still very much within in this tournament. But it's unbelievable. Now, first-round leader Bryson DeChambeau had his troubles today, shot 75.
Yep.
But at 300, he's not out of it. Brooks Koepka, he really struggled in the middle, birdied one, birdied 18, and had some real tough holes in the middle. He shot 71, so he's among those tied for the lead. But this is incredible.
Yep.
I mean, the shootout that we're going to see tomorrow and Saturday, I really believe there are still maybe 15 guys that could win this thing.
Yeah, it's
about everybody at the top. These are guys at the top of their game.
How about guys who got in early today? Ian Poulter posted a 71 and got in at 5 under par. You know, he's had all afternoon to prepare for tomorrow. Francesco Molinari got in a little bit after the fact. I mean, I'm looking at the rest of these leaders. They've taken advantage of later tee times today, plus the delay. What about the guys who were able to wrap up early? How much effect does that have on them coming out and being one of the final pairings tomorrow?
Well, you know, I think they realized what was going on. You know, scoring was good today, but it's not great. Augusta National is the greatest course in the world, as far as I'm concerned, where the risk-reward is so unbelievable. There are a lot of birdies at Augusta National. These guys birdie a lot of these holes, but there's also real trouble almost on every hole. You know, if you're going to hit the right tee shot on this hole, you've got to sort of skim it down the left side. Well, you touch a branch, suddenly you make double bogey. You know, that kind of thing. Obviously, the holes, you know, the par fives, the backside, 13 and 15. We see a lot of eagles. We also see a lot of double bogeys. It's that really heavy risk-reward, and we will see over the weekend that there will be some guys who will just make mistakes that they can't recover from, and other guys will take advantage of it. I'm telling you, it looks like 65 players going to make the cut. That only means 22 guys missed the cut,
mm-hmm.
and most of those are former champions and amateurs who had no chance to win. Obviously, Justin Rose missing the cut. That's a big deal. Brent Snedeker, you know, he missed the cut. That's, you know, he's a guy who's capable of winning something like this. But very few guys that the people watching on television or there at Augusta National want to follow. They're all still around for the weekend. And hell, most of them are bunched up very, very, very close to the front. So, you know, I remember, you know, after the Players was over, I said it's the greatest Players of all time, because literally on Sunday on the back nine, there were nine guys who had a reasonable chance to win.
Yeah.
Well, we've got even more right now. Now, we do have 36 holes to go, and that'll weed out some of them. But I expect a spectacular weekend. And what you're going to get is you're going to get a couple of them tomorrow. They're going to separate themselves with really low rounds. And then Sunday, you're going to get a couple of them that will come back strong with a couple of really low rounds. It looks spectacular. That's all I can say.
David Lamb joining Rick Ballew. First round coverage of the Masters continues. Day, Koepka, Molinari, Oosthuizen, and Scott at 7 under. There are 4 golfers at -6. That includes both Tiger Woods and Dustin Johnson. I remember talking with Billy Horschel after his round here at the Players on a Friday, and we talked about course changes because of the wind and how his front nine was totally different from the back nine. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the golfers know what they were supposed to expect these couple of days here. Wet grounds, 2.5 inches over the last couple of weeks, not any wind. Do you expect these course conditions to change tomorrow and Sunday? And if so, what do you think that's going to do to the majority of these golfers?
Well, what I think is going to happen is tomorrow the greens are going to get the speed back, because, again, these greens at Augusta National, they can suck every drop of moisture out tonight with all the technology they have under these greens. And so I think the greens are going to get the speed back. And if that does, we'll see tomorrow guys running the ball well past the hole on a consistent basis. Because if you notice this afternoon, after we got some more rain, everybody was leaving it short. You know, they know what the speed should be on certain butts in their mind, and they hit it. And because of the moisture on the greens from the afternoon rain, you know, they'd stop 6 inches short. You know, you see them break right at the hole and just be right on the lip almost. I saw it all afternoon, and I think the guys that played in the afternoon, you know, really had trouble trying to adjust to the slower greens, but I think they'll be back full speed tomorrow. And I think that'll cause the guys early maybe some problems,
mm-hmm.
simply because they're going to expect them. You know, you get in your mind, you hit enough putts, and you know how hard you're supposed to hit a putt.
Right.
Well, then all of a sudden, you hit it that speed, and it comes up short because there's just a little bit of moisture on the green, and it slows it down just a tad. So now you're trying to recalculate your brain, and you look at the same or similar putt tomorrow, and all of a sudden, it's going to be, you know, a foot, 2 feet faster than it was today. But I want to get back to a point you made about Tiger Woods. And this is really sort of an unusual phenomenon. He is back making long putts. He was incredible today, making the long putts. But, boy, he really does struggle from, I would say, you know, 15 feet in and even 5 feet in. I just think about the ones he missed yesterday. I think about the day where it looked like 12 and 13.
What is it? It's not physical. What is this, David? Is it his eyes? Is it? It's clearly the alignment.
Well, I guess it's the alignment. I guess it's not being able to read them. Maybe there's a little nerve involved. I don't know. I mean, you know, nobody thinks they're going to make a 40-foot putt. What you're trying to do is get it up there a foot from the hole. Well, sometimes they go in. Nobody's ever made more of them than Tiger. Well, we've seen Tiger making them yesterday or the day. But all of a sudden, you get that 6-foot putt. Now you're getting a little too precise. You know, you can overread it sometimes. You can overthink it sometimes. And the hands get just a tad shaky. And the older you get, I think there's some nerves involved with Tiger. Now, he's not missing them badly, but you know, when they're a 6-foot putt, you ought to make it.
Yeah.
You're one of the best players in the world. Now, keep in mind, there's, you know, the tour average for 6-foot putts is probably about 50%. You know, I think people would be shocked at how many Lamar missed. But you don't expect the guys playing their best that week, the great players, you know, to miss that many. But Tiger really struggles from, say, 6 feet, but to give him 25 feet, and bam, you know, he's knocking it in. It'll be interesting to see how he holds up. With 14 major championships, 4 green jackets, you think, well, Tiger's immune to pressure.
Yeah.
But he may have more pressure now than he's ever had because he's trying to prove to the world that he can be Tiger Woods again.
And he looked like it. I mean, making those putts. And he wasn't perfect today. I mean, off the tee, he was way left a couple of times. His recovery shots were absolutely fantastic. I mean, there were holes where he truly grinded today, and that's why I'm so surprised that he is missing these short putts. And Dave, I'm openly rooting for Tiger Woods to win the Masters, but I'll be as honest as I can. There's no way he's going to win it if he keeps missing 10-foot putts.
Yeah, but if he keeps making 25 and 30-foot putts, you know, I'll tell you what Tiger's got to do. And this may be the biggest compliment I can pay Tiger for what he's doing right now. You win the Masters by scoring on the par five and avoiding, you know, the big hole. His scoring on the par fives has been, I mean, he's like even par.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah.
In his four years that he won, go back and look. He would, you know, 1 year he was 13 under on the par fives. You know, that's pretty remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he needs to be at least, you know, 2 under every day on the par fives. And that would be 8 under for the tournament. And he's like even par, maybe -1 after 36 holes. Imagine if he was just playing the par fives, not only like Tiger used to play them, but like most of the top players play them.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care who you are, go back and look at the Masters champions. Even Zach Johnson, when he won the Masters, he never hit a par five and two, but he birdied like 10 of them with great wedge play. That's how you win. Those are the scoring holes. There aren't many other scoring opportunities. You have to hit that spectacular shot or make that long putt, you know, to score elsewhere. But you got to score the par fives. And when I look at Tiger and how he's played the par fives and the fact that he's won off the lead, I'm going, you know, I don't know whether to say that's horrible by Tiger well, that's great by Tiger that he could be one off the lead.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And play the par five so poorly.
Yeah, because you know he bogeyed number eight, and it was a 5-footer for him on that par five. And you know, I'm sitting on the lazy boy, and I'm like, that's it. You know, he just worked himself out of this tournament. And then he birdies 9, he birdies 11, and birdies 14 and 15, as we've talked about ad nauseum. He's missed short putts. So I just wonder for Tiger Woods, though, you know, tonight, Dave, and tomorrow, and the tee times will be announced here in a little bit. There's just a couple of golfers still out on the course. I'm want to know what his preparation is going to be like tomorrow. Does he get out there an extra half hour earlier? I mean, he's such a guy where everything is a part of his regimen. He has got to work on those 10-foot in putts. Does he leave something else alone tomorrow when he's practicing and spend more time on that? Just your overall thoughts on what he can do as far as preparation for moving day.
I think what he'll do is he'll go out and go through the normal warm-up routine, starting off with your wedge, working back up to your driver. You know, just to do your normal 45 minutes or whatever the individual golfer does. And then I think you will see him go to the putting green, and I don't think you'll see him putt anything over 10 feet. I think you'll see him sit there and then putt get as many of those putts as he can, talk to his caddy, how's my alignment, how's my head, you know, am I leaning one way or the other? But that's what he's going to work on tomorrow, because he wants to go into the round when he looks at a 6-footer, expecting to make it. And one way you can expect to make it is if you make a bunch of them, and even if it's on the putting green. When you see that ball go in the hole time after time, you know, you build up a lot of confidence. It's sort of like shooting free throws. You know, when you sit there and knock them down one after the other, you expect to make the next one. You clang a few off the rim, then all of a sudden you're trying to get it a little bit too far, or you know, you're trying to make adjustments that you really don't need to make. So I think tomorrow he'll do a normal routine and then spend some extra time on his short putting.
Outstanding. Dave, always a lot of fun. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy this tournament. We'll talk again real soon.
I'm telling you, this is like Christmas and Thanksgiving and the 4th of July all rolled into one. I've never seen a Masters like this, mainly because there's never been a Masters after 36 holes like this.
Yeah. It is absolutely spectacular. I'm in total agreement with you. All right, Uncle Dave, talk with you soon.
Okay, buddy.
There he goes, David Lamb. Make sure you read David. Just go to 1010XL.com. He's got great stuff up there, along with quite a few who write regularly on our website. Obviously, Hayes Carline does a great job on the Jaguars as well. So make sure you go to 1010XL.com to read from those of us who actually post on 1010XL.com. Jason Day bent over to kiss his kid. Hurt his back. Brooks Koepka lost 25 pounds to go nude in ESPN The Body issue of the magazine. Francesco Molinari, no one knows about him, even though he's won a major and was absolutely insane during the Ryder Cup. Louis Oosthuizen is a guy that, you know, we just haven't heard a ton about over the last couple of years, yet he's won a major. I think this is the 18th year that Adam Scott has played at the Masters. The guy won in 2013. He's been kind of invisible as of late. Dustin Johnson, you know, exercised his demons a few years back by finally making some putts, and he has won majors. And then you get to Tiger. I mean, you just go from player to player to player to player on the PGA Tour when you look at this leaderboard. And what do they all have in common? They've won a major. The only guy on that list who has it is Justin Harding, who has posted back-to-back 69s, 3-under yesterday, a 3-under today. He as well is at 6-under par, one stroke behind the 5, who are at minus 7. All right, much more coming up tonight on the Masters. No question about that. We'll continue to talk about everything that is going down as far as the first major in 2019 is concerned. Tonight's show brought to you by Key Buick GMC, right down the road from us in Tinseltown. Outstanding deals right now on GMCs, outstanding deals right now on Buicks. And of course, as we move towards the middle part of April, ladies and gentlemen, if you buy a vehicle there, lifetime warranty. Brand new Buick, brand new GMC, lifetime warranty. I also was there yesterday. My daughter's Hyundai got recalled. It was a simple little procedure. You need to bring it in. Fast, friendly, precise service. A great place to service your vehicles as well. Outstanding over there at Key Buick GMC. For more details, just go to KeyBuickGMC.com. See dealer for details. Coming up next, I'm going to give you a couple of things that I know I'll be looking for tomorrow when the Orange and Blue have their game. Yeah, I'm going to lay some tape on it or run it like I did with the Florida State game a week ago. Obviously, my attention on this Saturday is going to be focused on the third round in moving day of the Masters. But it's a total change in 1 year as far as the swagger and the feeling that is coming out of Hogtown. I'll dive into that next right here on 92.5 FM with Rick Ballew.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, what's this? Is this Motley Crue?
It's a little Sammy Hagar.
Oh, it is Sammy Hagar. He's got his new band out called Circle with Michael Anthony, right, who played bass at Van Halen, one of the original band members, and John Bonham's son, Jason Bonham, on drums. I was listening to Sammy the other day on Howard Stern. Sounds like those boys are putting some good material together. I'm thinking about getting out of here in an hour and some change and trying to slot in the back door to go see Kiss tonight. I think that'd be a lot of fun. And I just know the backstage and in the little corridors and things like that, there's got to be some pleasant ladies hanging out tonight to see Kiss. Fighting back, fighting Father Time, looking at yesteryear when Kiss Alive 2 came out. Gene Simmons biting off chicken heads, spitting blood into the crowd, coming out with clogs. Unbelievable stuff, right? They're here tonight. Kiss, right? I believe they are. Yes, I know they are.
Either tonight or tomorrow.
No,
I was thinking tomorrow for some reason.
No, tomorrow it's Kenny Chesney.
That's right. Getting those two mixed up. How could I do that, though?
Mm-hmm. Hotter ladies at the Kenny Chesney concert or at the Kiss concert?
I'm taking my odds on Kenny Chesney.
Well, that I'll know because I'm going to that show.
They did convince you to go. Who was it, your girlfriend?
Nah, I just did the right thing. Every once in a while in life, you got to do the right thing. And watching the Bruins lose last night, 4-1 at home against Toronto, I said, listen, if you're not going to give me 100%, why should I turn around and give you 100%? Damn it, Boston needs a championship. And the Bruins are laying down at home against Toronto. Sitting on my lazy boy tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, watching them play game two after the Masters. If they're going to put together that type of effort, then I'm going to go to a frigging Kenny Chesney concert. So I won't lie to you. The fact that they bowed out 4-1, I said, screw it. I'll lay tape. I'll go to Kenny Chesney. I'll come home very late tomorrow night. And if the Bruins win, I'll watch it. If they lose, I'll hit delete. It's as simple as that. Does that make me a weak-ass fan? I don't care. You say... Feel free to blast me, 641-1010, or hit me on Blue at 1010XL. All right, I'm also going to be laying tape tomorrow on the Florida Orange and Blue game. And, you know, Dan Mullins made cracks this week that he might announce attendance as being like a 41,014 or something like that to kind of resemble, the bloodbath that did occur this year in God's country, Florida finally getting on the right side of Florida State, after 6 years. And frankly, I love the attitude. He's trying to be a little bit like Spurrier, but he's not nearly as gifted, and he's obviously not nearly as smooth. I mean, all I have to do is go back and look at what went viral a year ago, the worst on-field dance I think we have ever seen in the history of college football when he was trying to get down with Felipe Franks during a timeout. It was just terrible. It was just literally awful. Dude's got no game. If he wants some dance lessons, call the freaking truth teller, all right? I'll give you some dance lessons, and I'll be performing that tomorrow night during the Kenny Chesney concert, live for anyone out there to see. But that was awful. Despite that, he has brought back swagger to this football team. He really has. For the first time in, it seems like forever, there's a little bit of positivity coming out of the University of Florida. Now, I'm not going to sit here and try to change your opinion on Felipe Franks. Gator fans hate him, and that's on you, not on me. I know what he does, and I know what he doesn't do. What he doesn't do is complete balls. He throws about 54% of his passes are caught. And he's put out some real stinkers, including Missouri. But I just wonder, after that performance in the come-from-behind fashion against South Carolina, he lit up Florida State, and then you knock off Michigan. All of a sudden, are there now believers at Florida when it comes to Franks? I'd like to see a little bit of growth with him tomorrow. Again, he's not anything close to being perfect. He's got to do a better job as far as his accuracy. You can't be a successful quarterback in big-time college football when you're only completing 54% of your passes. But he's got – I think he's got the best weaponry he's had over there. Florida does. In what, 6, 7 years? Is that fair? Going back to late Urban Meyer, maybe even a decade? And I was talking about it a little bit earlier today. You take this new kid that – you know, I can't wait to see Kyle Pitts, 6'6" of him. We talk about Kadarius Toney, who at this particular point, everything that I've read this spring is Dan Mullen is raving about Kadarius Toney. He has had one of the best spring ball camps of anyone. So the obvious question becomes, find a way to get him the ball. I don't care what you do. Find a way for it to happen in the backfield, in the slot, shorter routes as a wide receiver, counters, reverses, wildcat, you name it. If he is that explosive, get him the football. During the great years that Florida had, when Urban Meyer was there, remember the talent and remember the way that he got the balls to the guys that made a difference. Jeff Demps, Chris Rainey, Percy Harvin was a wide receiver. Heck, he'd line him up in the back. I think the first guy we ever saw who would do things like that would be Rocket Ismail. All right, Lou Holtz would have Jerome Bettis, and he'd have Ricky Waters, and he'd have Brooks. Well, it didn't matter. There were times where he'd just say, you know what? The Rocket is the best player on my football team. I'm going to line him up in the freaking backfield here and see if defenses can stop him. Lou Holtz did that first. Played golf the other day with Tom Carter Monday, the former first-round draft pick who went to Notre Dame and was selected by the Washington Redskins. And he was telling me a lot of stories, and most of them are not for air. They're off the record. But he was telling me as a defensive back that Lou Holtz had a way of getting on to everyone, that when Rocket Ismail used to run around or run a route and just break ankles, that even Lou Holtz would say, that's all right. I don't expect any of you guys to be able to cover the Rocket. He was that good. Florida did the same thing with Percy Harvin. Now, is Kadarius Toney the Rocket of Percy Harvin? No. But if he is the most explosive guy on this football team, find a way to get him touches each and every Saturday. Your offensive line is a concern, and these four freshmen hopefully will be able to help. But when you lose the players that you have, you look at the leadership questions now on the football team, especially along the offensive line. To me, that's the biggest question mark. I know depth is a concern there, as it also is within your secondary. Also looking for a little bit more push. I read a lot about what Andrew Chatfield had to say today. High expectations for him coming off the edge. Now that Polite is gone, now that C.C. Jefferson is gone, you need some pass rushers to step up at the University of Florida. Chatfield came out today and made some comments about Miami and how they really don't see them as being a challenge. That's fine. You can talk and say whatever you want. But that will provide some bulletin board material. I think we all agree that goes away by the second, third snap anyway.
But if you're talking, can you now play as well? So it'll be interesting to see what he can do. You know, linebackers, David Reese is outstanding. Where do you have depth there? I know you've moved a couple of guys around. So, you know, this is a better football team at the University of Florida than it was a couple of years ago under Jim McElwain. Is it a better football team now than it was a year ago when you won 10 games? I don't know, man. You lose Polite. You lose Jefferson. You lose Gardner Johnson. You lose offensive linemen like Taylor, who could be a top 10 pick. Hell, he could come here seventh to the Jags. You lose Martez Ivey. You lose a couple of backs in your backfield. I don't know if it's as good as it once was. Now, I'd like to think it is after your recruiting class that was that successful and the wealth of talent that you do have at wide receiver. I think Jefferson's been in and out, some personal problems I read earlier this week. But Ty Cleveland is a guy that that Dan Mullen has talked about. So, you know, these spring games are interesting. But to me, the telling part is always what happens during practice because they're so tailor-made for the offense. And we saw that last week in Tallahassee. I mean, you had both quarterbacks throwing the ball about 45 times. You ran the ball about 20 times.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, break up the Tampa Bay Rays. Are you kidding me? Up 5-0 early on, pounding Toronto. This deal they made where they gave up Chris Archer, getting Austin Meadows. He's 2-for-2 again tonight. This guy's hitting nearly 400. Pounding the baseball. And this is such a fun team to watch with Avi Garcia, the youngster as well. Yandy Diaz. You know, really the only two recognizable guys who been around there for a little bit, Akir Meyer and Zanino, but their youth, and they're really unlike most teams that we see in Major League Baseball where we've gotten into a situation where it's a home run or a strikeout. They'll actually put the bat on the ball. They'll hit singles. They'll hit doubles. They'll move runners along. They'll go from first to third. They'll manufacture runs. They'll, dare I say, lay down a bunt, play for a sacrifice fly. There's a little bit of old-school baseball going on in Tampa Bay with a lot of young guys that are trying to show that they deserve to be in the league. And they're actually an exciting team to watch. They're out again early tonight, 5-0, a full slate of baseball right here on this, you know, Friday night. I'd like to say the same for their hockey team, but they're getting their brains beaten in again. Columbus up 2-0 right now in Tampa after Tampa surrendered that 3-goal lead with 12 minutes to go in game one on Wednesday night. The Blue Jackets up 2-0 right now over the Lightning. Ton of time left, though, just barely underway in period number two. We'll get through most of that coming up a little bit later on as we do news and notes. I was going to say that we should head towards our Masters update right now, but I know that we've been a little long-winded tonight, and we've had these Masters breaks that we're already pretty close to running up against the break. I guess I've gone way over on my first three things tonight, so I want to save that for when we come out again in a couple of minutes when I have a little bit more of an opportunity to go through what has happened today in the world of the Masters. So just let me give you a couple of other bits and pieces of things that did happen there that I thought was absolutely out of this world. It has gone viral. And if you haven't seen it, you got to look for it. You got to Google it or whatever it is. Go to Twitter, and I'm sure it's viral there as well. and you can look at it. But the Zach Johnson situation on number 13 is one of the most bizarre scenarios I've ever seen in any sport. And if you have no idea what I am talking about, Zach Johnson at Amen Corner on number 13 was taking a practice swing, okay, getting ready to hit off the tee. Mistakenly, he hit his golf ball, okay? I'm not exaggerating. The golf ball went 8 to 10 feet off the tee, right off the tee box and in, you know, to the beginning part of the woods. He dropped an expletive and, you know, it was almost like if it was anyone else, it would have been like, all right, that's a gimme, that's a do-over, no big deal, put it back in the tee. We didn't see that. We'll give you a mug. And obviously that's not allowed in any event once you're playing professionally, especially on the PGA Tour, in this case, playing at the Masters. But I've never seen anyone do anything like that ever before. I've seen guys who have lined up a putt and the ball was moved. You know, you removed your marker and you put a ball down and the ball rolled, you know, a half an inch back towards you or away from you, and you've had to call a penalty in a situation like that, and you bring over a rules official to express to them what happened, and, you know, you can get a thorough explanation as to whether or not the wind made it happen or there was a slant in the green, and, you know, whichever way they decide to rule it, I've seen situations like that. We've seen drops before. Was it Ricky Fowler earlier this year who had that drop on, you know, kind of an inverted slope? He dropped it and it rolled down to the water. I mean, there's been all sorts of situations like that, that folks who have watched golf for a long time, you've seen situations like that. But mistakenly hitting a ball off the tee during a practice swing, the first time that's ever happened that I've seen. And the best part of it, he still birdied the hole. So he hit it off the tee, and this is with zero exaggeration, 8 to 10 feet, and he still birdied the final hole of Amen Corner, posting up a birdie on number 13 today. That was Zach Johnson. And that'll go down as one of the most incredible situations that we will see really on any type of golf course, in any golf situation. But who would have thought that it would actually happen at this year's Masters? And it did. Zach Johnson's a real good guy. I told you I had a nice conversation with him this past year. He was here for a Jaguars game, and he was on the sideline as the team was warming up. And obviously I recognized him and just said hi to him. And, you know, because I, as a sideline reporter, I had my Jags material on and saw the headset and microphone, so we figured I may know a little something about the team. I probably fooled him too. And he just started firing off question after question after question. He's a football fan. He's a Jag fan. And it was cool to talk with Zach Johnson. So a very likable guy. And I know Zach's never been considered very long off the tee, but today was definitely one of those. But he still fought it off for a birdie anyway on number 13. All right, let me give you the full leaderboard Masters update. I'll do it the way that I like to do it now that I got a little bit more time. We'll do that on the other side. That's coming up right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. I do want to remind you that tonight's show is brought to you by Key Buick GMC. And, you know, their deals right now on the GMC Sierra 1500, you're not going to find a better one anywhere in Jacksonville. If you love those trucks, and it's one that I've been driving around in now for more than a year and a half, I love it. The GMC Sierra 1500 Crew Cab, outstanding deal on that. This weekend is a great opportunity for you to go by and visit them, whether it's tomorrow or Sunday. Same with the Buicks, all right, the great crossovers they have there, the Encores, the Enclaves. No one does Buick like Key right here in Jacksonville. And remember, if you buy a brand-new Buick or if you buy a brand-new GMC, what they're going to do for you? Slap on a lifetime warranty. And just think about how important that is for you and your family, knowing that if anything goes wrong whatsoever, there's a lifetime warranty on your vehicle from Key if you buy a brand-new Buick or you buy a brand-new new GMC. Visit them today right across from Tinseltown on the corner of Southside and Gate, or go to KeyBuickGMC.com. See dealer for details. The Masters leaderboard and who will not be around for the weekend is coming up next with Rick Ballew on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, we got a 9 o'clock. Denny and Jane's come over to them. We'll get to our Masters leaderboard in just a couple of seconds. Let me go back to Zach real quick because I don't know if I was crystal clear about this. There may be some miscommunication on my part, and heck, I don't want to do that on a Friday night. I made it seem like he hit the ball out of the woods and still birdied. He did not. He was able to re-tee it and drive it down the middle of the fairway. The USGA, according to Rule 18-2, that is called the ball at rest moved, allows that to take place. They go on to state that if the mishap had happened during his second shot on the fairway or anywhere else, and the ball had moved and he had hit it, you know, 8 feet or whatever, it would have counted. In this case, since it was intended to be a practice swing, the fact that he mistakenly hit the ball, he was able to replace it on the tee. So, I want to be clear about that. I think that rule sucks, by the way, for what it's worth. And again, I like Zach Johnson a lot, and I've never seen anything like this before on the PGA Tour or anywhere else. I think it's happened with weekend golfing, especially when spirits are involved. I'm sure it's happened to someone out there listening, or you bet on a foursome where you've seen it. But on the PGA Tour, ooh, I'm actually surprised by Rule 18-2. But who am I to argue with the USGA? But I just want to be clear on that because I know some people have been calling in, stating it. Anyway, that is the correct way the call was made today involved with Zach Johnson. All right, let's get to the Masters leaderboard. What a day it was. My goodness, this Friday was just out of this world. Ian Poulter was really your clubhouse leader early on today, a 71 after a 68 yesterday. All right, so only minus one today, but 5-under overall. He is currently tied for 10th place. But he has had the longest stretch of time away to get ready for his tee time coming up on Saturday. Leaderboard has five golfers at 7-under. Jason Day, who's favoring his back, bent over to kiss his daughter and felt something, you know, get pulled or what have you. So, you know, watching him today, he looks far less than 100%, but still shot a 67. Great score on this Friday after posting a 70 yesterday. He's at minus seven. Brooks Koepka lost like 30 pounds. Brando Chambly, who I like, said this about Brooks Koepka, who I like. No way he's going to win. He's lost his touch. Forget about the 10 to 12 yards off the tee. I mean, after all, Zach Johnson's out driving Brooks Koepka. Plus, his short game has gone away. Well, Koepka, the 66 yesterday, and was absolutely phenomenal on the back nine on Thursday. Struggled today, including the double bogey on two, bogey on four, bogey on six, then settled in, played par golf, mixing in birdies on 8, 15, and 18. So a better round later on throughout the day for Brooks Koepka, a 71. He is tied for 7-under. Francesco Molinari at minus 7. Liu Yu stays in at minus 7. And Masters champion Austin Scott at minus 7 as well. They are your leaders. It's 6-under. It's Justin Harding. It's Dustin Johnson. And what about Tiger Woods? Birdies on 2, 6, and 3, but missed short putts on number 8, which is a scoreable par 5 for Tiger Woods, posted a 6. Also had a bogey on 5. And I remember, sitting on the lazy boy, after posting the 6 on 8, I said, that's it. Tiger had fallen back to 2 under par, and I said, there's just no way it's going to happen today for Tiger Woods. It's not going to work out that way for Tiger. Sure enough, what does he do? He birdies the next hole, number 9. He birdies 11. He birdies 14. He birdies 15. So he comes in shooting a 33. Overall, a 68 today for Tiger Woods. That's 4 under, minus 6 heading into Saturday. But he missed at least 4 short putts again today. But he made 2 very long putts. It's kind of hard to describe his game. It wasn't perfect today. He was off the tee, you know, far left with a couple of different shots. And, you know, you just consider a 68 and say, my goodness, Tiger's playing outstanding golf. He's not doing everything the way that he is supposed to. Yet he is in contention to win this year's Masters. He has got to make those 10-footers. That was his problem coming in, 146th place, we know, 10 feet are in. And he's missed, on my count now, 7 putts of 10 feet or less that were either for birdie or to save par. And that is the reason why he's not at 9 or 10 or 11 under par right now. Instead, he's at minus 6. Still, though, in great shape. Minus 5, his playing partner, John Rahm from Augusta. See Charles Howell III at minus 4. Matt Kuchar is at 4 under. Phil Mickelson is at minus 4. I want to say Lefty had it at minus 6 at one point. And then he had bogeys on 9, had a birdie on 10, bogey on 11. All right, you can see it at minus 5. Anyway, he ends up today at minus 4, a 73 plus 1 for Phil Mickelson in great shape. No doubt about that. Let's say Finau at minus 3. Fowler at minus 3. Justin Thomas, who just looked miserable on the golf course today. What I mean by that is not his golf game, but he just looks like he's not having any fun. Looked like he just grinded all day. I know he found Race Creek at one point, but he missed a couple of putts as well. Had one of the best afternoons of anyone. Posted a 68 today, which I want to say is tied for the third best score at the Masters during this Friday round. The best score today was Schauffele with a 65. I don't know if I mentioned it. If so, I apologize. He is at 6 under as well. Gary Woodland is at minus 3. Some other notables. Tommy Fleetwood, minus 2. Charlie Hoffman, minus 2. J.B. Holmes, minus 2. Kevin Kisner, minus 2. The cut line ended up being plus 4. All right, cut line was plus 3. Those who were plus 4 or worse were sent home. It was going to be plus 2 until Austin Scott bogeyed number either 15 or 16. Scott had it, let's see here, let me look it up for you. He had it at 7 under par and had the bogey on 16. So that put a lot of people in the money, because if you were at plus 3, you were going home. So just by looking at it here, it looks like around 11 or 12 more golfers are going to be around for the weekend because Adam Scott, had the bogey on number 16. You know, I don't think we ever really look at it that way, because every tournament is different. And the way that the Masters is now is it's the top 50 or within 10 strokes of the leader. So I'll allow you to do the math. If it had been at 8, that cut would have been 2. Instead, it went to 7, so the cut is 3. The fact that Adam Scott missed that particular putt put 11 more people in with an opportunity to at least collect a paycheck this weekend. Some others at minus 1, Kevin Tway. Also, you know, say what you want about Jordan Spieth, and like Tiger, I watched him miss several short putts again today, but he still posted a 4-under 68, so that's one of the better rounds that Jordan Spieth has had in quite some time this year. Again, he's had success, we know, with this course, including last year and obviously what he did back in 2015. Even par golfers today, Keegan Bradley, Rory McIlroy is 71 today. He's even. He'll be around for the weekend. Kevin Na, Jimmy Walker, Bubba Watson, the two-time Masters champion, and others, including Hideki Matsuyama, plus 1. Cantlay plus two and Treble Inman plus two. So there you go. That is your look at the Masters leaderboard. Some other notables would be Henrik Stenson at plus two, Billy Horschel plus three, Zach Johnson, we talked an awful lot about today, plus three, Martin Keimer plus three. And that's it. Going home, Stuart Sink, Sergio Garcia. And a lot of former winners are going home. Mike Weir, Sandy Lyle, Danny Willett, Fred Couples, Charles Schwartzel. Paul Casey is perhaps the biggest surprise outside of Justin Rose. Justin Rose, a plus four. He was my top pick to win this year's Masters. He shot a 73 today, plus one. Surprised by that. Paul Casey, my goodness. I think he was, what, nine over yesterday? I want to say he shot an 81 on Thursday. He shoots a plus one today. So plus 10. And he is going on. And then, you know, former winners like Vijay Singh, Ian Woosnam, Angel Cabrera, Jose Maria Olazabal all will not be around. So let me give you the final total. It looks like it is 57, 9, 60, 62, 3, 4, 5. Looks like they've gone from 87 to 65 golfers who are left to try to win this year's Masters. All the way from the five golfers at 7 under par to the 11 golfers at 3 over par. That leaves 65 golfers left, if my math is correct, as we head towards the weekend at Augusta. Unbelievable. Hopefully the weather will do its part. If so, what a weekend for golf fans. And I'm going to look for tee times here before we get off the air just to kind of give you an idea as to when the leaders will go off tomorrow. I'm sure that they have are working on that right now, and that may have already been announced. Once I do find that information, I'll spill that out. Hopefully I'll be able to do that coming up in just a couple of minutes as we do Truth Teller News and Notes brought to you by truckcrashlaw.com. But that's what's great about this event. You know, the less people, and, you know, the Masters used to have it, I think, top 44. But now they've gone to the top 50. And again, if you're within 10 strokes of the leader, you're still have an opportunity to play this weekend. But, you know, those guys at 7 under and Tiger at 6 under, I'm guessing they'll be going off, you know, 2:30 tomorrow. That'd be just a guess. You know, we'll have to see what the actual tee times are. But it's great because it gives you an opportunity to do what you want, you know. Get up, maybe play some golf yourself. I don't know, cut the lawn. Take the kids somewhere, buy them some ice cream, do all those great things. Maybe buy your wife some flowers, I don't know, and then just settle in and watch moving day at the Masters. I mean, what a weekend. And you know what's so great about this event is that there's no Gary McCord to ruin it, you know? I haven't even heard Faiyety, too. Is David Faiyety not allowed at the Masters? I've been paying attention, but I go to these different groupings, featured groups, an Amen Corner. Are you one of those golf fans that takes advantage of the technology, whether the package you have at DirecTV or being able to, I don't know, maybe at the office when you run it on CBS Sports, you're able to stream and go to those different categories? So I just haven't heard from Faiyety. If so, I apologize here. But that's one of the great things about this tournament is that you can actually listen. And I've been listening as well to PGA Tour Radio, which we've been carrying on 1010XL. Mike Tirico's been doing a lot of that on there, and there's plenty of talented people. But I don't know about you, but it's actually kind of cool to watch a golf event without every shot ending with a punchline. And that's the way it usually is with Gary McCord. Of course, he's been banned from the Masters when he said that their greens were bikini waxed years ago. They said to Gary McCord, "Hey, Gary, take your ass out of here and don't ever come back." But I don't know what's going on with Faiyety. He's not there either. And I just think it's a lot of fun to listen to great golf analysis where it doesn't always have to end with a joke. And you're going to get that out of those two jokes, the aforementioned Gary McCord and David Faiety. All right, we got much more to do. We go to 9 o'clock tonight from two jokes to two incredibly young, talented individuals. I'm talking about Denny Thompson and James Coleman. Folks, they come up tonight beginning at 9 right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. On the other side, let's get to Truth Teller News and Notes, brought to you by TruckCrashLaw.com.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, let's waste no time. Let's get straight to Truth Teller News and Notes, brought to you tonight and every night by TruckCrashLaw.com. Only law firm in the state of Florida where this is what they do. This is their profession. Someone has been injured out on the road, all right, a family member, a friend, and it happened because of a truck, an accident that occurred, tractor trailer, bus, an RV, anything along those lines. And, you know, something awful did occur. Serious injury, even if it was fatal. Contact truckcrashlaw.com. Phenomenal people, and they know exactly what it is that they need to do to help you through this situation. They're the only law firm that you'll find who does this and only this. All right, they're based in Jacksonville, but again, they're the only law firm in the state of Florida where this is what they do. Very good people. Make sure you get a hold of them. Hopefully you don't have to, because that means you're not aware of any serious injury. But if you have to go down that road, make sure you know truckcrashlaw.com. All right, we got a lot happening. Let's begin with the Jaguars. They've announced a big week next week. It's going to begin on Tuesday. There'll be media availability and the opportunity to talk with Doug Marrone, Nick Foles, and Calais Campbell as the OTAs will officially get underway. That'll be at, 11:45 next Tuesday, I believe. I thought it was Tuesday. Yeah, it is Tuesday. That is when it's going to happen. They'll report on Monday. So pretty excited about that. Get a chance to get down there, hear from those three, and certainly talk about it coming up on Tuesday night. And then the week gets even bigger. You've got the state of the franchise presentation headed up by President Mark Lamping. Owner Shad Khan typically spends a moment or two addressing those who are there for it, and Tom Coughlin as well, the executive vice president of football operations. So that'll be this Thursday coming up at 10:30. So looking forward to doing that. And then, of course, the following Monday, April 22nd, it's always a lot of fun. That is the week of the NFL draft. There will be a pre-draft media luncheon where we will get a chance to ask questions to Tom Coughlin, Dave Caldwell, and Doug Marrone. So some busy stuff happening for the Jaguars, whether you are ready or not. It's going to be a busy week next week for the Jaguars. The week after that's the NFL draft. After that, expect a rookie minicamp. And then, of course, the regular minicamp for the Jaguars, I want to say, officially gets underway on May 21st. So, yeah, it is here. And that is a good thing. I don't think there's any question about it. Be very interesting to see if we can try to get something out of them about the NFL draft. You know, I would think probably not, but I thought we got something out of Doug Marrone at the NFL Combine. The way that he made comments about how he wanted a veteran quarterback. And that's exactly the direction they went when it came to Nick Foles. Will we get a better understanding now? Are the Jaguars going to take the best defensive lineman available? Are they going to grab an offensive tackle? Can they possibly go for a tight end like T.J. Hockenson if that doesn't fit that position that high up in the draft at number 7? What is going on in Tampa? They have played 40 minutes of hockey. The Columbus Blue Jackets are up 3-0 over the Tampa Bay Lightning. You have got to be kidding me. I mean, Tampa Bay in the regular season had, what was it, like 123 points? They won 62 games. They put together one of the greatest seasons. They had 128 points. They were 62-16 with four overtime losses for 128 points. the top seed, Columbus, came in as an 8 seed. They were 47-31. And if they hang on here, they are going to take a commanding 2-0 lead, winning both games in Tampa. Of course, game 3 of this 7-game set will be in Columbus's barn coming up over the weekend. Just blown away by that. No score Pittsburgh and New York, that's on the island, as the Islanders continue to host their first playoff series since 1988. Later tonight, the Blues and the Jets, and then the Golden Knights and the Sharks on the West Coast. So some hockey going on. Going to settle in tonight and watch some puck when I get home. I still want to sneak in the back door to see that Kiss concert. I do. I just may run in there. I may act like I'm a cable guy or something. Act all important, carry some cable. Maybe I just got to find my way. I've never snuck into a concert before. I figure Kiss right now is probably into like their 6th or 7th song. They're an old band. They're going to have to take breaths, probably take knees. So, I don't know. And then Kenny Chesney tomorrow night. All right, truckcrashlaw.com. Thank you again. If someone has been injured or if it was fatal, as awful as that is, there are caring people out there for you. It's the only law firm in the state of Florida where this is what they do. This is their expertise, and they're based right here in Jacksonville. Make sure you contact the great people at truckcrashlaw.com.
Now, the 2-minute drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
Waiting in line is so 2018. App your way to the front of the line. Order Moe's online or in the app. Walk in, grab the food, and go.
James Coleman is here. It's time for the Sports Den. What is going on?
Not much, man. Just happy Friday. Petty Friday for me on Twitter and around these parts. I try to be buttoned up during the week, and then, you know, just one day a week, I have time.
Yeah.
To unleash on people or...
Who was your target today?
You know what? Today it was, you know, people were cool, but I went to my wing spot, got me some lemon peppers, and I asked
right across the street.
Yeah, right across the street, and I asked for them a specific way.
Great wings over
there. I want all drums, and they didn't. They gave me flats. So we have a huge debate that we're embroiled in, and I judge people. I don't want flat. I want my drums.
Okay, like, so you judge that guy negatively.
Yeah, so they're like, they're telling me this, and they're telling me that about ranch and the need of blue cheese. And I'm not opposed to using that, but I like my lemon peppers wet. So yeah. I don't need any extra salt.
Yeah, we did a show there a couple months ago. I had a lot of fun out there.
Yeah, man.
I love that place.
You can pay me in wings, baby.
free wings. You're making me hungry, man.
My favorite, lemon pepper.
I'm like rabbit food. Like
who's that, Big Leon?
Man.
All right, what's coming up tonight?
We're going to talk about the spring games coming up. Gators got his game. Miami's playing a high school scrimmage at the stadium.
I know they are.
So we're going to talk about those things and what fans can expect, what they got coming up. We're going to shed some light with a friend of mine from that covers some Houston teams and some other stuff about the AB situation. There were some things that some perspectives that were brought up. We'll talk about what's going on in Carolina, if I can get my girl Sheena quick. So we're going to have a lot of different interviews that are going to come on with some people who are really, really good voices. I got a guy who's going to come in and be my guest co-host.
Where's Denny?
MC Wale. Denny is going to a spring game.
That's right. He's going to Athens.
He's going to Athens. Listen, Gator Nation.
Mm-hmm.
Denny Thompson is going to visit Georgia.
Dollar signs.
Just want to let you guys know, the bag man
is going
to come visit Georgia. So make sure you guys let him know how great of a fan he is.
Go Dawgs.
I might talk hockey, what you just said. Man, I actually like the Lightning. That's the only hockey games I've ever been to.
Don't they do a crate over there?
Yeah, do a really good. I was pissed that they didn't make it. I would have went to Vegas to see them in the Knights last year because I went to Vegas and I saw how great it was. I was like, I'm going back if Tampa Bay plays it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Now Vegas sucks and it doesn't work.
Well, Vegas had an unbelievable year ago. I mean, what they did, I mean, remember, I know this is dating you a little bit, but year two when the Jags made the AFC Championship game in year two, and the Panthers made it in year two.
It was crazy.
That one's supposed to happen.
Yeah, nobody had ever gone. Because you technically get the leftovers that franchise.
But the Golden Knights did this in 1 year, not two.
With the leftovers. And then what Tampa Bay did with their trades to get their team to where they're at now. So, I mean, it's good hockey. I like it.
Yeah, and you know what's great about hockey is that you can be down 0-2. And you can be down 3-1 and still come back and win series. I mean, it can. I remember a few years ago, Boston was up 3-0 against Philadelphia, and the Flyers came back and beat them 4-0.
It's a sport that I have a hard time watching on TV, but I definitely love watching it live.
Yeah,
and I've got some clients who are playing, and it's actually really fun.
Like, yeah, I love it too.
Two of my favorite sports are hockey and lacrosse. People don't really know that about me.
Yeah, I mean they're huge East Coast. You know, and lacrosse getting bigger around here, and hockey, the Icemen. In action as well. They'll be coming home here in just a couple of days. So we'll be talking about that as well. All right, James, have a good night.
I appreciate it.
All right, James Coleman coming up right now. It is the Sports Den. That's going to do it for us. The producer is Matt LaVey. Thank you to David Lamb for joining us, talking with us about the second round of the Masters, which was just absolutely spectacular today. Hopefully you have a great weekend, and you get an opportunity to sit in front of the TV and enjoy that tomorrow and Sunday as well. I'll see you at the Kiss concert because I'm sneaking in the back door. I'll see you tomorrow night at the Kenny Chesney concert. Tonight's show brought to you by Key Buick GMC. They have phenomenal deals right now, including the number one selling crossover. That's a Buick Encore, the GMC Crew Cab 1500. Remember, you purchase a vehicle right now at Key. Lifetime warranty on brand new GMCs and brand new Buicks, only at Key. Go to KeyBuickGMC.com. See dealer for details. For producer Matt LaVey, my name is Rick Ballew. We're back Monday night, 7 to 9, right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.